We begin the current daf, Maseches Gittin, daf Mem Aleph. We begin 8 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the discussion from the previous daf and gives actually a totally different interpretation in the halacha of our Mishnah. That is, we had the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Aleph Beis that was very ambiguous in the halacha that it was saying. And the words of the Mishnah were that if there was a slave that his master had made him into a napoitiki, which was designated to be a collectible item from the lender in case he doesn't pay up the loan, so he could collect from the slave, and then his master goes and then he frees him. Doesn't say who frees him. So we said, according to the basic halacha, the slave wouldn't be responsible for the fact that he's a free man. But because of tikkun olam, which doesn't say what the tikkun olam is, then we force his master, doesn't say which master, and they make him into a free man. And then the slave writes a document indebting himself for the value that he's worth, where he was really owed by somebody. But now that he went free because he was freed by somebody, so he pays that value to that person. Where Shimon Gamliel argued, and he says, no, that the only one that writes the document of indebtedness for the fact that he was freed of his value is the one who freed him, but the slave himself is not responsible. So the first interpretation of the Gemara that we quoted in the previous daf was that of Rav. The way Rav said it was that it was his first master that freed him, and the basic halacha is that the slave would not be responsible. When it says he wouldn't be chayiv klum, it means he wouldn't be liable anything to his second master, to the one that was a shibud on. The reason being is, like Rava had said, because shichur is mafkim de shibud, he was absolved from any responsibility by his first master being meshachar him. But because of tikkun olam, which Rava explained was that maybe the second master who was really going to get him, and he was relying on him, but he was freed first by his first master, is going to tell him, you're my slave, and he's going to be mighty loud on his children. So that's why when the Mishnah said, Kaifin is rabbi, they force his second master, meaning the one that was going to be his master, to make him free. And then the slave writes his value that he's getting out of that pleasure by being freed to the second master, and he'll pay up that debt at a later point in time. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argued, and he says, no, the slave doesn't write, rather the Meshachar writes, which is, according to Rav, the first master. And their machlekes is, the Gemara explained, regarding someone that's mazik shibud shel chaveiroi, the first master was mazik, the shibud of the second one. If you say that he's chayiv, then he has to, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, then he has to write the shtar of indebtedness, because he created that loss in his chayiv. Whereas the Tanna Kamma holds that if someone's mazik shibud shel chaver, he's pater, and therefore the Meshachar would not be chayiv, although he caused a loss of the shibur. So rather, because of tikkun olam, that we don't want the slave to have the problems later on when he's with his whole family and someone's screaming, you're a slave, and that means his children are not full-fledged Jews, so he has to go ahead because of tikkun olam and write the document of indebtedness to that second master who freed him, even though he was supposed to be his shibur. That's one interpretation. Ulo Amar, he gives a totally different interpretation. He says, Mi shichurai, who was it in the case of our Mishnah when this ever was supposed to be an apaitiki, an object of indebtedness to the lender, but was subsequently freed? It was Rabbi Sheini. It was his second, quote, master, who's not really his master. And therefore, it was just, he was going to be, he was relying on him. When the lender defaults, he's going to collect from there. Now, therefore, it continues Ula, and he says, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Shura Sadin, according to the basic halacha, Einu Evet Chayiv Klum, and it says the slave is not liable to anything, it means he's not liable for anything b'mitzvos, like regular Jewish people, more than slaves, meaning of course Avodim have certain mitzvahs like women, but according to the basic halacha, he really is not obligated now in any mitzvahs because his second master freed him, because he's not owned by that second master. All he was that he had a shibud in this slave, and therefore he's not allowed to free him. So therefore, says the Mishnah, really the slave should not be chayiv in any mitzvahs like a ben chayiv. Ella b'mnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam, which is what? Sharei yotza lov shim ben chayrin. The word got out already that he's a free man, because the lender who was the shibud for freed him. So, oh, look, he has a document of emancipation. You're a Jewish person. What's going on? How are you not fulfilling the mitzvahs that a regular ben chayrin are more than a slave? So because of that tikkun olam, for that people are going to be saying, what's going on? He's a free man, and yet he's not keeping all the mitzvahs. So kaven is Rabbi Rishain. Again, according to the interpretation of Ula, they force his first master, who really owns him, and the second person didn't have any rights to free him yet, but since people are saying that he's free, so they force the first master, Ba'isa ben Chayrin, and he makes him into a free person. And V'kaisiv shtar damav, and then the slave writes a document regarding his value, which is more than the debt that was owed by the borrower to the lender. Meaning the lender said, look, I'm freeing this slave that's owed to me through the shibud. But the thing is that the slave is actually worth more than how much the loan was. So regarding that discrepancy, that the slave has the right to the first master saying, look, I know you're being forced into freeing me because of what everyone's talking about, that I'm free already, and that I should keep all the mitzvahs. So I'm going to write you regarding the rest of that value, which I'm gaining by you being forced to free me. He writes the document of that value. Whereas Rav Shimon Lilam, he says, no, ein kaisiv, the slave does not write any document of indebtedness to his original master, because what did he do? He didn't cause the first master the loss of having to force him to be freed. Ela Meshachar Kaisiv, the one who writes it is the Meshachar, where according to the interpretation of Ula, that's the second person, the second other, meaning the lender, he has to write a document to the borrower regarding the odef, regarding the excess, meaning, of course, regarding what was owed to the lender. He doesn't have to pay him up because that was owed to him anyway. But the slave was worth more than the loan itself. So that discrepancy, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Meshachar has to write it, not the Eved, because it was his fault that now, because he, quote, freed him, that now the word is out that he's a free man and he has to keep mitzvahs, and that's why we're forcing the first master to free him. So the Gemara says, but my kemifically, like the way when we had Rav's interpretation, we said, what do they argue about? Where we said that was regarding Mazik Shibud Shachaveri. So the Gemara is asking, according to Ula's interpretation, what are they arguing about? Behezik She'ein Nikri Kemifugi, they're arguing regarding when there's a damage which is not recognizable. Which is, for example, when you make something tummy. So it might be a problem when you're metame truma, where it's not, you can't use it anymore, but it's not recognizable. It looks like the same thing as it always was. So that's the same thing over here, where there's not a recognizable damage, meaning to say, I didn't harm your Eved, I didn't take him out of your domain, he's still your slave. I just was Meshachar him, which is causing you damage because Tikkun Olam forces you to have to free him, but that's what's called, it's unrecognizable to the eye of any damage. That's what they're arguing about. Mar Savar Shmei Hezek, Shmei Lil holds that that's considered damage because ultimately you're damaging that person, and that's why, since the Meshachar, the second Adon, caused that Hezek She'en Neker, he's going to be chai for the Hezek, and that's why he has to write the value and pay up that money to the first master. But the Tanakama held that no, it's not considered damage, and therefore we can't force the Meshachar to have to pay that discrepancy to the first master. So therefore, rather, we force the Eved, because it's because of his pleasure that he's gaining from being freed, that the Tikkun Olam forces us to free him. So therefore, we impose that on that slave to allow the Tikkun Olam of forcing the first master to free him, and then the Eved himself is who pays that difference. So those are two different interpretations in the halacha of our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Ula, my time lo amakarav. Why didn't Ula say like the interpretation of Rav, which we quoted in the previous daf and shortly in the beginning of this daf? Why didn't he say like Rav's interpretation? So Amalachi would tell you, Sheini Rabbi Karasle? What? The Tana, the Mishnah, is going to call the second person, I mean the lender, the one that there's a Sheba to, is not really the owner. The Mishnah calls him his master, because the words in the Mishnah are Koifin is Rabbi. We force the master and he has to free him. What are you talking about? Free him? What do you mean free him? He's not his master. So therefore he doesn't like the interpretation of Rav. For Rav my time alamakula, and so why doesn't Rav hold like Ula's interpretation, which the one we just quoted now? Amalachi would tell you, what? Sheini Meshachar Karasle? When the Mishnah says that he was Napaitiki and then he was Meshacharim. So he says, who was the one who was Meshacharim? He calls it the second one. So on that, Rav says, how can you call the second person, meaning this one that there's the Sheba to, the lender, as he was Meshacharim, he freed him? His Shechar is not a Shechar. He doesn't own him. How can you call that a Shechar? And therefore he doesn't interpret it like Ula, rather the way he did, which was that it was the Adon Harishon, the original master, who's Meshacharim, and that you could call a proper Shechar. So again, that was the machlekes of this halacha in our Mishnah regarding an Eved that was napaitiki. So continuing on the halachas of apaitiki, the Gemara says, Idma, we learned, ha'esa sadeu apaitiki lachem. If someone makes his field into an apaitiki, which is designated to be collected by that debt, by that creditor, he makes an apaitiki for other people. Ushtafa nahar. But then what happens is that a river comes and floods the whole field. And now the whole field is totally ruined because you have water that's floating on there, which will forever ruin that field. So Ami Shaper Na, which was his nickname, which literally means, say, his name is Ami, but it means that very nice. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, he says the name of Rabbi Yechanan. to ain a gave mishan lachasim. Now that creditor can't collect from any other properties because I said you're going to collect from this field. Now this field got ruined. So it's tough luck on you. It's your loss. But the father of Shmuel says, no, gave mishan lachasim. What do you mean? You owe the guy money. You just said that, okay, fine, if I don't pay you, you could collect from this field, but if this field's not around, you still owe the guy money, and then he could collect from other properties. Now, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he asks, Mishum de Ami Shapri Nohu, which he's making a play on his nickname, he says what? Because Ami's very nice, Oymishmaitid Le Shapirin, he says statements that are not very nice? What does that mean? Seemingly, Avod de Shmuel is correct that because of the Apoitiki, the Sheba got ruined, doesn't mean you don't owe him any money that he can't collect from other properties. So rather, to Targum Shmaiti, the Gemara says that actually they're not arguing. That you should interpret the statement of Ami Shapir Noh in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. The Amale, it's when the debtor said to the creditor, Lo yehei lecha peroin ela mizu. When he made up with him, he says that no, the only place you're going to collect from is this Apoitiki. But you're right, if he told him, if I don't pay you, then you collect from this, then of course it was never in the domain of the creditor. It's not that he lent him the money with the condition that he's only going to be able to collect from there. And therefore, it's of course that it is Meshubatim, but if that gets ruined, of course he could collect from other Nechasim. As the Gemara says, Tanam Halchi, similarly we learned this change, depending how he said it, in the Braisa. Ha'isa sadeu apaytiki la'achar shtafana. The same case. If someone made his field as an apaytiki to someone else, and then it was flooded by a river. So goyv mishan Nechasim. Like Avud Shmuel said, you could collect from other Nechasim. Now, Ve'im Amalah, but if he says to him, as the way we just explained Ami Shapir Noh's version, if he says, Lo yehi lecha peron ela mizu, when he's lending him the money, he says, look, I owe you money, but you only could collect from this field, and then the field gets ruined, in the Gev Mishan Nechasim, he cannot collect from other properties, because that was, there's two types of Apoyetiki. One is an additional, where that's a resource you could collect from, and I'm designating for you. And the other one is that only this one you could collect from. That's the case of Ami Shapir Noh. Now, Tani Idich, we learn another brisa again that follows this division of two types of apaytiki, where one is that yes, you could I'm designating this for you, but it's not the only resource. Versus that there's a case that it's the only resource. So we learn a similar idea in the following brisa. Ha'isa sadeu apaytiki labal chayiv uleksubas isha. If someone made his field as an apaytiki, a designated collecting for creditors and for his wife's ksuba. So the halacha of the Tanna Kamma says is gav mishan nechasim. They could collect from other nechasim, like the way we said in the name of Avud Shmuel. Now, but additionally, as Rashi says, what that means to say is that if the debtor wants to, he could sell these fields and they could collect from other things. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says no, bal chayiv gav mishan nechasim. By a creditor, he could collect from other properties. Isha ina gav mishan nechasim. The woman does not collect from other properties. But and therefore she could collect from this field, and the Baal Chayiv, her husband, would not be able to sell that field. It's like that type of a apoyetiki where it's only from there. Why? She'ein darka shel isha lechazer al batidin, because it's not the norm for a woman to have to go and get busy with court cases. In other words, when he had made the ksuba for her and he took responsibility, saying how are you going to know I'm going to have money when you're going to want to collect your ksuba, it's designated on this field. It was with that intention that she married him. And not that, as generally a poetiki is, that there's a responsibility for all his properties and just this one was designated additionally. Because a woman won't know which field to go to, who bought first, who bought last, and that she's going to have to go ahead and go to court and deal with all the litigants and all the consumers and all the purchases. It's too much for her. And therefore, says the Brisa, that would be like that a poetiki, whereas, no, this field. And therefore, if he has it and it didn't get ruined, he can't go ahead and sell it, in contrast to a regular Baal Chayiv, where that he could, and they would then go ahead and collect from other Nechasim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing a theme of all these Mishnahis of Tikkun Olam, and specifically like the previous Mishnahis, talking about the Halachas of Shichur, where we force the master to free his slave. So the Mishnah tells us a case of Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Becharin. If there's a slave that's half slave and half free man, for example, if let's say you had two brothers or two partners, and then one of them freed his half, so he's half free and half slave. So the halacha is, says the Mishnah, Eved es rabbi yemechad ves atzmi yemechad. So what he does is that one day he serves his master, and the next day he serves himself, because he's half and half. So they split, one day him, one day the master. That's the Rebbe Sol. They say, wait a second. Tekantim es rabbi. You made it work out for his master because, in other words, that partner that still has his shear doesn't really lose anything. As it was up until now, it was serving one partner, then the other partner, then the other partner, and now he still has as he always did. He doesn't lose anything by now, what's happening now. But the slave himself, you didn't make it work for him. Why not? Because Lisa Shifcha Iafsha. To marry maidservant, he's not allowed to because of the part of him that's free. Because he's already half free because of the other partner made him free. And a free man is forbidden in a maidservant. And as we continue on Talmud Beis, and Baschairin the Yafshir, neither is he allowed to marry a full-fledged Jewish woman because of the part of him that's a slave, Shekvar Chetzi Avid, because he's still half slave from the other partner that still owns him. So Yevatel? What, so he should just be idle and not get married? But Vahaloi Loi Nivra Ha'olam El Lepivir, says Bishamai, but the world was only created to be fruitful and multiply. Shnem, like it says the Pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Leisaihu Barah, the one who created the world and not created to be empty, L'shevus Yitzara, he formed it that it should be populated and settled. The whole purpose is that they should be fruitful and multiply. And this guy can't have his role in the world because he can't marry anyone. Elabim they tikkun oilam, rather says Bisham because of tikkun oilam, the rectification of the world. Kaivin is rabbi va'isa isa ben charen. They forced the remaining partner to free him. The kaisir shtar chatzidamav, and then the slave who is gaining out of this. Then he writes a document for half of his value that he owes, and when he'll finally make money, he'll pay back the remaining partner the value that we're forcing him to free. And says the Mishnah v'chazur beisil lahoris k'divir bishamay. Ultimately, beisil retracted from their opinion, which they said that no, one day slave, one day master, one day slave, one day master, and they said like bishamay because you're right for the situation that it's like in this situation, he's not going to have any way of marrying, not a maid servant and not a regular Jewish woman. So therefore, we force the master to free him. And then he pays him up the second half. Now, in a related discussion, which relates to the halacha of Mishnah, of being a chatzi av chatzi ben chayrin, the Gemara brings Tana Bar and Linda the following brisa: Hameshachar chatzi avdei. If someone frees half of his slave, so there's a machlekes. Rabbi Amar Kana, he says that the slave acquires the half that the master freed, and therefore he becomes a half ben chayrin. The sages disagree, and they say, no, he hasn't acquired, can't acquire yourself halfway from your master, you're not a chatzi eved chatzi mecharin, you're a full-fledged eved. So there's machlekes, how to interpret this machlekes. Amar Rabbi, he says, machlekes bishtar. The whole machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham is regarding when he was freeing half of his slave with a document, with a shtar shikhar, meaning that he wrote in the document, you're half freed. The Rebbe held that the slave could acquire half of himself, is based on the pasuk in Vayikra, which says v'haftu lo niftasa, which means to say that she's redeemed, but she's not redeemed. Now this is what's in regards to what's called the shifcha charufa, which we had visited this sugya on the previous daf, which is a maidservant that's designated to a Jew, to an eved ivri, which there is a machlikis how to interpret this parasha of the shifcha charufa. Now on that, Rabbi says that the Rebbe is interpreting the pasuk the way Rebbe Kiva does, as it's brought later on in Masechtas Krisis, regarding when you say that Peduya ve'ena Peduya means to say that this maidservant that's designated to the Eved Ivri, she's married to him, so to speak, she's redeemed, but not redeemed means to say that because she was only half redeemed. She's Chatzei Shivcha Chatzei Baschairin. And that's what the pasuk talks about over there, that if another man has relations with her, then Lo Yumsu, he's not going to die because she's not a full-fledged Jewish woman to be considered a regular Eishes Ish. So again, there's a machlekes how to interpret that. Does it mean that she's only halfway redeemed, as the way we're interpreting now, or as the Gemara will shortly bring, that there are those who interpreted that she's totally not redeemed, she's a total maidservant that's designated for Eved Ivri, so it's regarding such a woman that if another Jewish man has relations with, that he won't be Chayiv Misa. But for now, that Rabbi is explaining that Rebbe interprets the pasuk like Rebbe Kiva, that means to say that she's half freed through money, because generally when you use the word pidyon and redemption, it's with money or something that's worth money. Then the pasuk continues and says, "Oichuv shalei nitin la," or she wasn't given something to free her, which is a reference to a document, because as the Gemara will shortly explain, we see that it says, "Chuv shalei nitin la," And so to by a woman, it says, La, because of law, save increases, which that talks about a shtar of get, which is the only way a woman is freed. So therefore, the pasuk talks about hefter lo niftasa, which again talks about money. And it also talks about shtar shikher, which is chuv shalei nitin lo. So says Rabbi, makir shtar lekesef. We equate shtar, which is the second half of the pasuk, to kesef, which is the first half of the pasuk, which is ma kesef ben kule ben chesir, just like by money. It works to redeem the slave or the maidservant, whether all of them or half of them, because that's what the pasuk says. V'hafter lo niftasa. She's redeemed, but not redeemed. Meaning, and that's how he learns up the whole parsha of Shifcha Harufa, that she's a half maidservant and half free woman who is engaged to a slave who is actually permitted in both slave woman and free woman and married to her, and then a man cohabits with that slave woman. That's where you have the parsha of Shifcha Harufa, but we see that she's able to be that half a maidservant, and that's through money. So Avshtar, so too the Hekesh tells us for the second half of the pasuk, so too with a document, Nami Ben Kulim Chetzi, that also works either full way or half of the way. That's the opinion of Rebbe, why if someone's Meshachar Chatzei Avdi B'Shtar, that he's going to be cutting himself. But Rabbanan, they argue, and they're Gamri Law La B'Isha. They learn out this Gezer Shava from Law, by Chuv Shalai Nitin Law, by Shivcha, by Eved, from Law by Isha, which Ma Isha Chetzi Law, just like by a woman, there's no halfway. You can't half divorce a woman from her husband. Afisha Na Mechetzi Law, so to a woman, you can't free her halfway as a maidservant, and therefore, the Rabbanan disagree, and they say, Loikana, the woman will not, yes, with money, yes, but with a shtar shikher, not, as the Gemara says, according to the interpretation of Rabbah, av bekesef divya kol kana, but with money, everyone would agree you could make a shifcha or an eved halfway, because that's what the pasuk tells us, peduya v'ena peduya. That's the case of the shifcha charufa. The whole way that it's conceptualized is that because she's redeemed halfway, but not redeemed halfway. Now, so said the Gemara, lema ha-kemiflegi. What it sounds like, according to Rabbah, the machlekes would be as follows. The marsava, the Rebbe holds, hekesha adifa. A hekesh, which is one of the principles of translating the Torah, which is that you make a comparison between two things in the same pasuk, which here you have pidyon and you have chufsha, which is shtar and kesef. And that's what he holds, is better than gzeirah shava. And that's why we're going to say that the woman could be halfway freed through a shtar shechar. But it sounds like but that the Rabbanan disagree, and they hold that no, a Gzeres Shava is better, where we don't leave a Gzeres Shava and learn out from a Hekesh. Whereas Rebbe holds that no, a Hekesh is better, because when you could learn out from a Hekesh and a Gzeres Shava, clearly he's saying, according to the way Rabbah is interpreting, that we leave the Gzeres Shava of La La to say it can't be halfway, and we learn out from the Hekesh that you could do it halfway. So that thing where it says, no. The Kuli Alma Gzeres Shava Adifa, everyone agrees that a Gzeres Shava is preferable over a hekesh. And the reason being is because the way gzeirah shava works, just because it has that word over there and that word over there, doesn't mean it's automatically gzeirah shava. It's what's called mufna. One of the words are superfluous to expound it of the relationship with the same word somewhere else. So says Rashi. So it's as if it said explicitly in the Torah this halacha, because it's a superfluous pasuk which no word is extra. So rather, it's coming to teach us explicitly this halacha. Now, moreover, as Rashi says, and even if it's not mufna, because sometimes there's a gzeirah shava where it's not superfluous, but in a situation where there's no refutation of the gzeirah shava, but since, says Rashi, that it's a halacha that's l'moshe mi-sinai, we have a mesaira of what the gzeirah shavas are, because you can't make up your own gzeirah shava, say, hey, there's a word over there like that, and a word over there. It's interesting. I would think to say that maybe it's going to have the same halachas. You can't, in contrast to a hekesh, which that is open to the interpretation of the Chacham regarding what is the pasuk coming to tell us. So therefore, gzeirah shava is better according to everybody. But so, what's the understanding then of the halacha of Rebbe? V'shani hacha deikal mifrach. But here, although there's a gzeirah shava, but you could refute, and that is even when you have a gzeirah shava, it's only if there's no refutation in regards to the gzeirah shava. Again, there's a machlekes regarding if both have to be superfluous, one. But the point is, here we could say and ask, yes, the gzeirah shava, but we find by a woman that she can't be divorced with money. So it would make sense that she's very limited in how she gets divorced. So that's why maybe she can't be divorced halfway either. But how could you make that gzeirah shava to compare to the halachas of a slave, who is definitely not totally like a woman, because a slave could be freed with money, because that's what pidyon is. And therefore, maybe that when they could be removed with a document, maybe it would even be halfway to. So that's why Rebbe says the gzeirah shava is clearly not telling us, limiting it all the way, because woman doesn't work with kesef and Eved does, and maybe therefore Eved would work even halfway too, and therefore it allows him to learn enough in the Hekesh that it works halfway too. That's the interpretation of Rabbah. Again, in this Machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham about freeing a slave halfway, where everyone agrees with money for sure it would work, as the Pasuk says, V'haftila neftasa. The Machlekes was regarding shtar. Do we say the Gezeirah Shavah says that you cannot, or do we say that no, here the Gezeirah Shavah would not apply, and the Hekesh would tell us from money to shichur that just like money works halfway, so too does the shtar shichur. Now, but Rav Yosef Amar, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no. Machlekes bekesef. The Machlekes Chacham and Reb Meir was in the case of when he's freeing her through money, when someone buys the slave halfway. The Rebbe Sava, because Rebbe interprets, V'haftoi lo neftasa, when it says there in the Pasuk that she's redeemed, she's not redeemed, it means, as we said before, that seemingly everyone holds, according to Rav Yosef, it's only Rebbe that holds this, that, yeah, it means peduya ve'ena peduya. She's redeemed, but not redeemed. So therefore, Rebbe holds that you see that it could be halfway, and that's the conceptualization of the Shivcha Charufa. So that's the halacha that was saying that by money, he holds that you could free a slave halfway. But Rabban and Savi, they disagree in the whole interpretation of that parasha of Shivcha Charufa. They hold that Dibra Torah Kalashim in the Adam. The Torah talks in, as in everything. Everything is, anthropomorphic. You can't say that Hashem has a hand. It just talks how people talk. And therefore, actually, the Chacham hold that it's a full-fledged maidservant, the parsha of Shivcha Charufa. The woman that's married to a Jewish slave that another Jewish man cohabits with is not a half-slave, half-free woman. She's totally a slave woman. When it says of a haftal and neftas, it's read like, and redeemed? She's not redeemed. That's how people talk. Meaning she's not redeemed at all. And therefore, we don't find any source in the Torah that a slave can be half-freed even through money. And therefore, the Chacham hold that, no, a slave can never be half-freed even through money. And says Rabbi Yosef, but regarding a document, there no one would hold. Everyone holds that the slave would not acquire themselves because, as we have the Gzeres Shava of La from Isha, which by a woman you can't be half divorced. So to a slave, we learn out, cannot be freed halfway through a document. The whole machlekes was regarding the halacha of Kesef. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asks, however, under this interpretation of Rabbi Yosef, from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamashachar chatzi abdui bishtar. If someone frees half of his slave with a document, Rebbe Yomer kana, v'chacham I'm loy kana. We have the Machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham in the case of a document, says the Gemara, Tiyufted Rav Yosef, Tiyufted, that clearly refutes the interpretation of Rav Yosef, where he said that everyone holds a shtar does not work. The whole Machlekes was regarding money. Here we see clearly in the Braisa that the Machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim is like the way Rabbi said, in regards to Ishtar, that they do dispute regarding Ishtar. Now, however, the Gemara then now asks a second question. It wants to say that from that Braisa, which picks specifically the Machlekes Rebbe and the Chacham in the case of a document, to say another question on Rav Yosef's interpretation. What do you see from the Braisa? Bishtarhu depligi. When do they argue? Only regarding a document. Av bekesev loy pligi, but it sounds like by money, to free half the slave through money, to redeem. That there, no one disagrees, and everyone would hold that there, for sure, it would be kaina. Lematava to Yufted Rabbi Yosef Betarti, so we should say that there's a double refutation on Rabbi Yosef. One is, like we mentioned before, where Rabbi Yosef had said that by a document, even Rebbe agrees that the slave would not be able to acquire, and yet the Braisa we said clearly says that Rebbe does argue and holds that the slave would be acquired the half themselves, even with a document. But moreover, the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Yosef had said that their machlekes was regarding money. But the precise reading of the Braisa seems to indicate that no, they only argue regarding shtar, but that by kesef, the Rabban would agree that the slave would acquire half themselves. The reason being because it says, v'haftil lo neftasa, that you see it could work halfway. So on that, Amalach Rabbi Yosef says no. And that's where he mends his opinion. He says, no, pligi b'shtar, v'hu adim b'kesef. Meaning, although I said before, that everyone agrees shtar loikana, and it's by kesef that they argue. So I obviously have to amend that part because the Braisa refutes that part. So yes, they argue by shtar. But it doesn't refute my other thing. They also argue by money, and not like the way Rabbi said that everyone agrees by money that it's going to work halfway. Now, although the Braisa speaks about them arguing only regarding a document, that was lohoidiyacha koichid Rebbe. That was to highlight the strength of Rebbe's opinion, where even by a shtar, where you could think that you would learn out law from Isha that a slave would not be able to go out halfway the way a woman is not able to go halfway. So that's why we mentioned the case of a document to highlight that even there he argues and holds that the slave would acquire themselves halfway. So the Gemara asks, why would the Braisa pick the case of document? Let them pick the case of money. And it would tell us the strength of the Rabban's opinion the other way, that even by money, where you could interpret v'haftilay niftasa, as there are those who make that interpretation, that it means halfway. So you see, a slave could be halfway through pidyon through money to be kaina, and still the Rabbanu argue and hold that it's not going to be kaina. That the Gemara answers, as it does many times in Shas, koyech der tera adiflay. It's more preferable to say a chiddush, a novelty, to highlight someone, the strength of someone's opinion when it comes to permitting something, because that means it has to be clear. A stringency could be out of suffix. So we always prefer the element of permissibility that's being highlighted in the opinion of Rebbe, even in the shtar, that the slave would be permitted to acquire half themselves, even in the document. So the Gemara says, Tashema, let's bring a raya from the following braisa, exactly how we interpreted Rebbe Yosef's amended position, that actually the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chacham is both in shtar and in kesef. Because the braisa says as follows. The pasuk that we quoted before, which is in the parasha of the Shivcha Charufa, which means, say, the maidservant that's designated to an Eved Ivri, meaning that she's, quote, married to him, although not a full-fledged marriage, and that's the reason why a Jewish man who cohabits with that wife is not going to be chayv misa as a regular Eishes is. So it says that a half day that she was redeemed. Now, says the Braisa, the Yochel HaKol, you would think that she's totally redeemed. Tamaloyma, but then you read the next words in the pasuk, it says loy nefdasa, she's not redeemed. Well, then says the Braisa, iloy nefdasa, now this that it says in the pasuk, that she's not redeemed, so Yochel HaKol, you would think that means for everything, meaning to say that she's totally not redeemed. In other words, when it says v'haftei, you would think that she's totally redeemed, meaning to say that the halacha that's told that she's engaged to an Eved Ivri is saying that the one who has niyuf with her is not going to die only because she's engaged to an Eved Ivri, but that she's totally redeemed. And the pasuk says no lo niftasa. But then when it says lein nefdasa, you would think that, oh, so totally not redeemed, meaning that, and even though she's totally not redeemed, still the one who has bi'ah with her, in other words, I would say a chiddush the other way, would still be chayav a karban asham, because since she's at least designated as a marriage partner for an Eved Ivri, who's permitted in the shivcha, so that's what the chiddush would be, that you're still going to be chayav an asham. The other way of a haftei, that you would think is totally redeemed, mean to say, even so, you wouldn't be chayav misa, because she's only married to an Eved Ivri. So that's what the pasuk says. No, that she is redeemed. So haketsa. So the braisa wonders. I would understand each way, which way it would be a chiddush. Bahafti would say a chiddush that even though she's totally freed, but she's only married to Eved Ivri, that's why not chay misa. But then it doesn't say. It says but loy hafta. It says loy niftasa. So okay, if it says loy niftasa, she's not redeemed. So I would say the chiddush is that okay, even though she's not redeemed at all, but she's a total maidservant, still, you're going to at least be chayav a karban ashram, which you wouldn't be for a regular maidservant, because she's at least married to an Eved Ivri. But it doesn't say. It says, hafte en loy neftasa, so haketza. So says the braisa, peduya ve'eni peduya. We're talking about a case where she's redeemed, but not redeemed. She's half and half. Bekesef u'beshava kesef. Now, that qualifies when it was done with money or something worth money. Because that's what pidyon's usually done with. And that's the case of shivcha charufa, according to the braisa, where she's half shivcha, half baschairin, and that's the case where you're going to be chayiv an ashram and not chayiv misa. Now, continues the braisa, ve'en li el bekesef. I would only know with money that a maidservant could go out free, meaning that a slave could be freed. B'shtar minayin, how do we know in general that a document works to free a slave? Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches, where, as we quoted before, v'hafti la neftas, it says redeemed, but she's not redeemed. But then the pasuk continues, oichuv shaloi nitan lo, or something that was freeing her was not given to her. Now, I mean to say that she's not totally a free woman. Ula halno aimer, and in a different place in Devarim, it says regarding a woman when she's divorced, it says because of law sefer krisis that a book of separation is written for her. So we learn that law, meaning the word law, ma'ala halam b'shtar, just like over there by a woman when she's sent away, it's with a document afkam b'shtar, so to hear by the maidservant when she would be sent away as a slave, it would also be with a document. So you see that you could free a slave also with a shtar. Now the braisa continues, einli ele chetzi bekesef, but I would only know that it is even allowed where half of the slave is freed when it's done with money. Now of course if all of the slave is done with money, for sure that would work. But I only know half with money because of a hafti la niftasa, which teaches half, it only talks about a hafti, which is pidyon, which is with money. Or I only know so far that the entire slave is freed with a document. But half the slave with a document, I wouldn't know that if you freed half the slave that they would be halfway freed. So chetzi b'shtar minayin, how do I know it even works halfway freed with a document. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches. V'hafte loy niftasa, she's freed but not freed with money. Ay, or chushalay nitla, or a total freeing document wasn't given to her. Where makish tala kesef, the pasuk is making a hekesh, equating the two elements, comparing document to money. Makesef being kula ben chetzi, just like money works either all the way or halfway. Afshtar nami being kula ben chetzi, so too document works either all the way or even halfway. So now the Gemara concludes the proof. Bishlam the Rav Yosef Basa di Taisav. Maybe we understand this brisa according to the amended version after he was refuted on half his halacha, where by default we said it has to be talking about that he holds that the Rebbe and the Chum argue by both Shtar and by Kesef. So Hamani, who would be the Tana of this brisa that says that actually by both Kesef and on Shtar a slave would be able to go out halfway? It's Rebbe. He's going according to Rebbe. But Elul Rabba, according to Rabba, who argued on Rabbi Yosef, and he was the first interpretation brought on the top of this Amud, that he said the whole Machlokes Rabbi and the Chacham is regarding a shtar, but by money everyone agrees that the slave will acquire themselves halfway. So it comes out that Reisha, the beginning of the Braisa that says that by money it works halfway, is Divrei Hakol. That's going according to Rabbi and the Chachamim. But the Seifa, the end of the Braisa that says that even by shtar it works halfway, is only like Rabbi and not like Drabbanan. So Amlach Rabbi says, yes, Rachel Divrei HaKol, the beginning of the Braisa would be going like all the opinions, V'sefer Rabbi, and it ends like Rabbi, where, although that's not what would be called like a Chila, ideal, because generally it would follow one opinion, but here, one is like everyone, and the end is like just like Rabbi. Rav Hashem, he says, no, actually you could say it's according to one opinion. It's Rabbi he. The Braisa is Rabbi himself. He said the whole Braisa, where he holds by both that the slave acquires himself halfway. Where yes, and the rabbis argue on him in generally regarding a document, not regarding money. But this price itself was said over by him. In other words, when you have a Tana quoting opinions, which let's say it's Rebbe at a later point in time, it's not so likitchila, so ideal to say that he quoted half of it like everyone and half of it like only one opinion. But here the Rav Ashi is saying, no, it's Rebbe himself, who he was saying his own opinion, where he holds like as we say, Rebbe. And that's why he's saying his opinion. So although the rabbis agreed him on one of it, it doesn't contradict the fact that it's all him. Now, however, El Masnidin Diktani, but regarding our Mishnah that we learned, and this relates to Machlokes Rabbi Yosef and Rava, and Rabba, where the Mishnah said, Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Mecharen. We were speaking about it in our Mishnah, and that's how we said that it relates to our Mishnah, about someone that's half slave and half free man. We said, okay, so we forced the master to free the other half. So we understand Rabba will explain the case of our Mishnah, meaning that it's feasible to have a chetzi eved chetzi mecharen, but kesef v'divrei HaKol, that it would be going in the case of when he was freed halfway with money, and it could be going according to all opinions, even according to Rabbanan. Because he said they're only arguing regarding shtar. El Rabbi Yosef, but according to Rabbi Yosef, v'leimer Rabbi Hivel Rabbanan, it would seem that according to Rabbi Yosef, our Mishnah could only be going like Rabbi, not like Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yosef holds that the Rabbanan say you can never free a slave halfway, not by shtar and not by kesef. So Ravina says, no, and this is how we had explained through Rashi the case of the Mishnah in the beginning, as we continue to have a Membezim and Aleph, is Toma Be'evet Shal Shnei Shotfen. It's talking about that it was a slave of two partners of a Divi HaKol, and everyone would agree to the Halacha of the Mishnah that it's feasible to have a Chetzi Eved Chetzi Mecharin. The reason being is because since each master only has half the shears in the Eved, so even the Rabbanu would agree that when he frees his half, that it would be considered a valid shechur because he's not leaving over anything. It would actually be just like the case of Lala from Isha, where she's totally leaving from his domain. Here, he's totally leaving that master's domain. So the shechur, of course, is going to work. Now, however, it only works for half the slave because that's all the shares that he has. But there, that's what the Gemara answers, it actually could be going like everybody because that would be a total shechur, at least from that master, and that's why it's feasible to have, even according to the Rabbanon, a case in our Mishnah of Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chayr.